Okay, so today, Be'ez Hashem, we'll start the Melacha of Bishul, which is number 11 on the list. The first source, the Mishnah on Gimel Aleph. I was Melacha Shabbat Chazachas of Ofe. It's called Ofe in the Mishnah, not Bishul. But, you know, colloquially, it's the first Melacha of Bishul, certainly one of the most important, well, they're all important, but I mean, it was encompassing and many, many details, which we'll spend some time on the next couple of weeks on the subject of Bishul. Basically, the simplest definition of Ofe or Bishul is to cause a change in a food, and as we'll see today, it doesn't have to be food necessarily. Okay, and any item, you know, it could be metal, it could be wax, something along those lines, through the medium of heat, changing the texture, changing the nature of an item. Again, usually it's referring to food, through the medium of heat. That's basically what it's about. Again, the Mishnah refers to it as Ofe. Okay, even though colloquially it's called Bishul, the Mishnah calls it Ofe. Rashi points out, we've seen this before, but here's where it's most relevant, because, you know, the other malachas that are listed in the Mishnah are listed through, you know, this explanation, basically. Rashi in the second source, I'm going to allow for Shabbos, Ofe, lo, haba, mishkan. There's no baking done in terms of construction of Mishkan. Again, this is Rashi, which he tells us, we've seen so many times, that, you know, in order to, when we say that the malachas is derived from what was done in the Mishkan, it means it was necessary for the building of the Mishkan and not for, you know, services or activity within the Mishkan. So Rashi points out right away, obviously there was no baking done for building the Mishkan. Lo shayach ela bepas, baking is by bread, you know, by bread and bread-like items. Upas lo shayach melechas ha-Mishkan. Again, the key words, Rashi or melechas ha-Mishkan, right? That's Rashi Lushitoso, as opposed to the Haigon that we saw already. Things which are done in terms of the daily activity in the Mishkan also counts that it was Ofe for the purpose of baking the lechem upon him. So Ofe was necessary in the Mishkan in terms of the service of the Mishkan, not in terms of the building. Rashi therefore says there was no Ofe in the Mishkan. All these items relating to herbs and plants and so on have to do with the samamonim for the different dyes. And he says in a moment, we'll see in a moment, he sends you to Gemara, the Teshavik, Tanam, Evashel, the Habas, Amonim, and Akar, Ofe. The Gemara will ask, okay, so I understand that, you know, Ofe is important. Ofe is one of the lachas, but why would the Mishnah list it as Ofe when Mevashel is what they did? That's when you cook up these dyes and so on and so forth, it was cooking. Or the course of the Gemara will tell you that. And then he writes, Shurin Shel Elo Kid Grogeris, okay, it's a Grogeris, that's the Shir. Of all of the above, Chutz Michoresh, Chalshu, we talked about that, we learned about that, about Choresh. So the Gemara Rashi sends us to is on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, source 3. Galash Ofe, Amar Papa, Shavak Kanadidan, Bishul Saman, Dava Mishkan, Rakhar Ofe? That's the question. Why did he leave? You know, why isn't it on the list of the Torah Amud Aleph? We call it Bishul, we all call it Bishul. Why didn't the Mishnah call it Bishul? Or it says, because Kanadidan, Sidur, the Pasnaka, all those things have to do generally with baking bread. So Ofe is by bread. I mean, it's the same concept as Bishul, but Ofe is by bread, and therefore it mentions the Sidur, the Pas. Rashi again on Ayin Dalet Beis 4 says, Nokar Ofe, the Loshak, Melechas HaMishkan Kha, like he said earlier, Nafayin Gimel. There's no baking that was done in the Melechas HaMishkan. The answer is Sidur, the Pas, Shehishchabo Nokar. The Ofe, Bimkom, Bishul, the Samanamu, do Bishul, the Pas. What is Ofe? Ofe is Bishul of bread. Ofe is how you cook bread. We call it in English something different also. We call it baking. But it's the same idea. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. Now, the Rambam and brings these dinim in Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos, the laws of Bishul on a Daraisa level. That's what we're talking about now, Daraisa. And Rashi writes, the Rambam writes, so it's 5, Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos, Ofe could go Geres Chayev. Okay, Echad Ofe is a pas. He said there's no difference whether you're Ofe is a pas, you call it baking bread, or Hamavashel is Hamachal, or you cook another type of food item, Ofe is a Samonim, or, you know, herbs and stuff for dyes, or Hamachamim is Hamayim, you heat up water, all these things are called Inyan Echadu. These are all the same malacha. That's what the Rambam seems to be stressing, it's all the same malacha. And he writes, what's the Shir? The Shir can be different than what it is. Shir Hamachamim is Hamayim. Kidei lirchot bahen aver cotton. The amount of water is the amount of water necessary to wash a small limb. Bashir mavash salmonim. Kidei shurun ladavar shemavashin also low. Whatever you need, you know, it's whatever you need this dye for, that minimum amount. Okay. The Rivan adds, kidei litzbo ben beged cotton. That is small. Excuse me, you dye a small piece of cloth. Okay, fine. What emerges in the Rambam It's an ofe, bishul, it's all interchangeable. It's just different words for different types of items. Ofe is by bread, and bishul is by food, and something, and mechamim is by water, but it's all the same thing. Okay, when nobody says, when you heat up, you say in English, you bake bread, you cook food, and you heat up water, right? I mean, no one says I'm cooking water. You put a kettle on it, I'm not cooking water, I'm heating up the water. It's a different words in Hebrew too, but it's the same thing. So says the Rambam. The Egel Tal throws in Amalekas Ofe in the Biurim, Aleph was cut in Zion 6. Lefizeh, Hachinami Tzole, same thing with roasting. Metagen is frying. Again, he's in different English words too, but it's a purpose, it's the same, you know, with different types of foods. Me'achar de lachshira lachila miskavin, kimo mevashel. Since your purpose is to ready the food for eating, that's your goal, is to ready the food for eating. So some foods you fry, and some things you bake, and some things you roast, whatever it's like, mevashel. And alkein havyan av malacha. They're all under the av malacha. Okay, there's no difference. They're all part of the av malacha. That's what he's saying. It's not that one is a tolda, one is secondary. They're all the av. Okay, then that's what the Egel Tal is stressing. Masha'ina came to Basa B'cholov. Okay, that's a question. By the laws of Basa B'cholov, so you'll learn in your day in the first siman of the Basa B'cholov, in Pizayin, you know, maybe it's tzli the same thing? Right, all those things I mentioned there, is that the same as Mevashel? You know, because the language in the Torah is Lo Sevashel Gedi B'chalev Yimol. Right, that's the mocker for Basa B'cholov. So what about tzli? What about tzli? Okay, you learn that, but that's the Egel Tal. Maybe you learned it right. But that's what the Egel Tal so much. And what's called the machshava, a delab machshava talya milsa. Okay, it's not the goal, is that you're doing what the Torah prohibits. Okay, like, you're doing what the Torah prohibits. Here, it's, you know, what you have in mind. Okay, lefizeh ha'inu tamid the ofe hava amalacha. And that's why ofe, says the Egel Tal, is an av malacha afal gav de lohava mamish b'mishkan. Even though there was no actual ofe in the Mishkan, it's still called an av. That's his point. We learned at the beginning of the year that an av malacha is only something which is found in the Mishkan. Why there was no ofe in the Mishkan? So how is it an av? So no, because it's the same thing. Mishum shekavan also gam kein lachshir lachila. Okay? Yeah. And he writes other things, for example, with Bishul counts at Tzliya. All right, and in the end, he asks, and I, the Gemara that we just saw off Ayin Dalmud Beis, source 3, the Gemara asks, why did the Tana list Ofe and not Bishul? So he says, don't be misled by that question. Lav lemeimah the Ofe Otolda. It's not trying to tell you that Ofe is Otolda. Otherwise, because he's wondering, you know, wait a minute, the Gemara has a question. Why did they mention? So he answered, no, Ela, the Mikol Mokam Yosef, Avel Tana, Lachshu Mavashul, Avim Mamish B'mishkan. Gemara's question was not, well, wait a minute, maybe Ofe should only be a Tolda. So why is it listed? No, it's asking, you know, why did the Tana list Ofe instead of Mevashel? They're both part of the Av. But once you make the list, shouldn't the list include those things that are in the Mishkan? Literally the Mishkan. So it should have said Mevashel, and the Gemara gives a teretz letter that doing Sidur in the past. Okay, that's the Egel Tal. But I do want to point out, the Aruch HaShulchan, okay, the Aruch HaShulchan, in Simon Shin Yud Ches, which is the primary Simon on Bishul Daraisa, okay, Shin Yud Ches, and Rochav, of course, so 7. Bishul Havi Av Melacha, V'Hai Sob Mishkan, She Bishul Esamamonim. He says, his words is Bishul, okay, is the Av Melacha, because that one was in the Mishkan, on the Mevashel Esamamonim. V'Atana Mishkan, Avos Melachos Choshim Ofe, V'Fia, Lo Av Mishkan. You know, it's obviously the list of the Mishkan, and I find going off, as we started with, lists Ofe and not Mevashel, even though Ofe was not in the Mishkan. The Hodel and Rokin Mevashel, Mishum, the Siddur, the Pasnokin. Klomar, Shmeshi, Hiskel, Hazareya, since he started with things that have to do with the bread baking process, right? Started planting and plowing and, you know, plucking and sifting and all those things. So he mentioned Ofe also. Now, then he writes two important things. Uladidan ain't nafkamina. There's no nafkamina. We learned already. There's no nafkamina nowadays between Av and Tolda anyway. So it's end of the minute. He writes, though, the Toldos mevashel hu afir. He learns, he seems to be learning, Rachel Shulchan does, that the real Av is mevashel. That's the real melacha. They've listed Ofe because Ofe fits into doing the past, but it's really only a Tolda. Not like the Egel Tal. Okay, I think it's more difficult there, if I'm saying it correctly, that is what he says. The told us, Mevashel, who are fear. Okay, even though that's the one that's listed. He basically learns the Gemara saying, yeah, it's listed, even though it's only told, it's listed because it fits in with the Siddur of the Path. But really, the Melacha is Bavashra. That's how he starts with this here and again.
Why would it be called? Isn't that what
you
usually understand
it as? No, I don't know. Maybe Tal said they're all part of the same Melacha. Depends. Again, as I don't make too big a fuss about it. There's no practical enough anyways. Yeah. Whatever it is. But I'm just saying, I'm showing the difference. Negle Tal says they're all part of the Ad, you know, which is what seems to be in the Rambam also. Okay, the Rosh Hashanah says, no, Mevashel is really the Ab. That's how he begins, Simon Shemin Ches, Mevashel, Bishul, Havi Ab Malach. And then he says, told the Mevashel, Lafia. All right, so why is Lafia listed? Because it fits on the Siddur of the Pas. Okay, either way, that's just the point, is that it doesn't matter. And just to understand by way of, you know, this Hagdama, you know, why Bishul is such an important thing. Why Bishul takes up so much attention of the Shabbos, you know, the books, everything about Bishul and Shabbos, and why is it? So it's interesting. And the Baal HaMor, in his commentary here in the back on the Rif, in the back of Shabbos, starts on Tezan of an Alakiv, Im Tishal. So he writes, V'yesh Omrim, Ki Takonas Abuseinu La'aneg Es HaShabbos B'chana. There is a rabbinic decree. I don't know if Rabbi Samolansky spoke about this when we talked about this. There is an inyan to have hot food on Shabbos. There's an inyan to have hot food on Shabbos. Chalt is not stam. Okay? Chalt is not. Having chalt on Shabbos, I'm talking about Shabbos day. Okay? And having hot food, he calls it takona shabbosenu. La'aneg es shabbos chamin. V'chol mi she'eino ochal chamin. A person refuses to eat hot food on Shabbos. Tarach b'dika achar b'humin. Maybe he's a heretic. Okay? Maybe he's a heretic. If he dies, the Jews should bury him, or at least dies on Shabbos, so on. He's Jew. Okay, well, what's he talking about? So the idea is that there were those, the carrots and stukim before them, who learned when it says, Lo Sivaru Eish from Samuel on Shabbos, you can't have any, even if you lit it before Shabbos. Okay, even if you did this before Shabbos, you can't leave it on Shabbos. So therefore, they wouldn't have any hot food on Shabbos. So chalent and so on, the whole idea of chalent is you put it up on Friday afternoon. I mean, now you can get chalent on Thursday nights too, right? So it's right that I think there's a gas station a month where you can buy a from old gas station, you can buy chalent on Thursday nights. The yeshivas, they serve chalent, to do it here, after night there. You know, sometimes you get chalent, huh? Yeah, they chalent Thursday night. And the Tish Friday night, they have chalent also. You know, it used to be a chalent Shabbos morning. There's an old joke, and I can tell the difference between a yeshiva fellow and a married fellow. So yeshiva fellow has chalent Thursday night, Friday night, and Shabbos lunch. Married fellow has chalent Shabbos lunch, Sunday night, and Monday night. But be that as it may, the idea of chalent was that we show no. If we do it right, we can have out. We should have had food. That's why the Baal HaMor is saying, if you don't, then we're suspicious. Maybe you're buying into this other shita. Okay, yeah.
So even as a rogue, Ki Hashemara Shabbat.
Yes,
the whole song is basically an attack on Karai Shabbos.
Yeah, right there.
And the funny thing, the Karais loved the poem so much that they changed some of the lyrics to be anti-rabbinic, and then they
said, that I didn't know. Yeah, Ibn Ezra, the Shabbos days, Zemer Kishma Shabbos. It's Avram is the, you know, the acrostic, and it's the name of it. Friday he wrote what he called Somanachi. Okay, so anyway, but Shabbos he wrote Kishma Shabbos, and I know that things in there were slipping in criticism of others. I don't know if they wrote a response, so to speak. But anyway, there's a beautiful tune. Anyway, a beautiful piece.
That's why I was so angry with. Rashi's grandson, the one who interpreted the Sukkim and Gracious as saying the night comes.
Oh, the Rashbam, yeah.
Rashbam,
yeah.
Right? He was so angry against the Rashbam because he's seen the character
right.
And how.
Yeah, the Rashbam was saying, oh, it's Pshat, but as opposed to.
So, Ibn Ezra wouldn't say that because he was, you know, surrounded by six people.
Yeah. Anyway, the Baal HaMor is that's more of the same time frame, a little bit later. But the Baal HaMor also, but I'm just saying, the point is that, Hazmi Lavashal Hatmil Anagas Shabbos. Well, who are Mammon is over the Ketam. I was going to come back from the teacher. Ketam is somebody who's going to. All right, anyway, but that's the point. We want to have hot food on Shabbos. People want to have hot food on Shabbos. I think this Shabbos is supposed to be like 5 degrees, I think. So we don't want to have that. No, I think that's what the forecast was for. So I think that it's very cold. So you want to have hot food. Come home and have a hot bowl of chalent. Okay, so that, and you enjoy it. And therefore, we want to be able to cook on Shabbos. There want to be ways that we can do it. In fact, the Rosh writes, I put the 9, per Gimel, Sun Aleph, Yisrael adukin b'mitzvahs onig Shabbos lo yishmu l'hachmer. We're very tied. We're very connected to the mitzvah of enjoying Shabbos. We don't want to hear chumras. You can't warm this up. You can't eat that up. We have to find ways to do it. And that's what the Mishabura, okay, we read on the first day of Shir, we read the Mishabura's Hakdomen, Tilchus Shabbos. It's printed a couple of lines here in Source 10. I do it like bound or, you know, committed to, tied up. Right? Anyway, over Prat Pinyan Bishul Shehiv Atmona, who Hilchus Arabasi Ma'od. The Shabur writes that Hakdamah Hilchus Shabbos, especially Bishul and Shehiya, which means leaving something on the flame before Shabbos, and Hakmana means people, you know, burying something or wrapping something before Shabbos so it retains its heat, which we'll talk about all this time. Hilchus Rabbos Yom Bahar Bechiluka Dinam Anagel Ma'isa. Then he Dinam Anagel Ma'isa. And then he writes to Kfar Hey and Hagon Bal Ur Metum and Sifro Yaras and Vahashlet Tzibionis and Abishus. Wrote a sefer called Ur, many sorry, Ur Metumim. That's why sometimes it's called the Tumim. The Ur Metumim is on Choshen Mishpat. Okay, it's his, you know, twin commentary Choshen Mishpat, and the crazy place he's on Yeridaya, and he wrote many other works. Ur Metumim is a commentary Choshen Mishpat. Yeah. Yeah. Say crazy places. No, no, he wrote because of our tomb is Sifro Yaros Advash. But he's most known, I guess. So he's known, even the Shiva today, they call him the Tumim. The Tumim. He's most known, one of the things best known for is the Tumim. Okay. So another sefer called Yaros Advash, which is more of a Hashkofa, Machshava sefer. Okay. His name is Yonasan. You know the story of Yonasan with the honey. Yonasan, the brother, the son of Shalva. Right, so that's what we call the same Yaris Dash. Anyway, Ki E Efsher Klal B'Metzias, you're not only Shabbos, you know Yom of Kol Adinim Al Boryam, Hatev, Hatev. You have to know the Dinim well, but especially same with regards to Bishul. Okay.
This is the first
year. Yeah, we did the first day. Right. So I just quoted it here because you mentioned specifically Bishul. Good. Now, so let's get into the discussion of Bishul. I said before, we usually associate Bishul with food. However, Bishul can be violated even by non-foods as well. Okay, so the Gemara, for example, says there in Shabbos, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, source number 11, Ayin Dalet, same daf. Okay, the Gemara says, Amar of Achabar Avira, Haiman the Shadi Sikhsa Latuna. Shadi means like he threw, he tossed. Sikhsa is some sort of like a peg, a nail of some kind, a peg. Latuna means into the oven. Okay, look in Rashi in 12, Shabbos Ayin Dalet Beis, the Shadi Sikhsa, Shehishlech Yosein. They sent they threw a Yosein. Some kind of a, like a tent peg, some kind of a peg. Latanor cham liyabsho. Want to dry it out, so you scashes. It'll become hard, harder. Okay? So that's the Gemara. It says, chayav mishum mevasho. You're not eating the peg, but you're changing its texture, its essence through fire. So that's called mevasho. Chayav mishum mevasho. Or it says, pshita, well, yeah, that's what mevashel is. Mevashel, as we said, it's not limited to food. You know, no one's eating this peg. Okay? But it's not limited to food. So it's pshita, all right? So I said, no. Mao, the same l'sharure monaka mechaven. His just intention is not really to change. He just wants to strengthen it, to harden it, to strengthen it. Rashi writes, l'sharure l'chazek. Just make it tight. The nail or the peg will be stronger if it's been subjected to heat. So it'll make it so it's not really bishul. I might have thought, therefore it's not bishul. It's just l'sharure, okay? As we'll see elsewhere, Rashi says the sharuri means the strength, like we find at the end of a ksuba. Hakol shorir rekayam. Have you had an expression? The end of a ksuba. Hakol shorir, end of document. Hakol shorir rekayam. It's strong, it's valid, it stands. Okay. Anyway, that's what Rashi says elsewhere. Anyway, so it's the chazmei kambishul. So therefore, the Gemara says that's why you have to tell us that it's okay. Yitake, I might have thought ain't kambishul because you're not really intending to. To cook, you know, to change it rather than to strike it. Okay. Kamash Malon. Why? Second line of 11, they again Shabbos and Dalam base. Kamash Malon, the mirfa rafi, the hadar cometh, because when it's in the fire, when it's in the furnace, it softens up first and then it becomes hard. The fire kind of softens itself, so to speak. Okay. And Rashi elaborates. Mirafe Rafi, remember Rafa is soft, right? Rashi says, Ayideh chom ha'or, the heat, the intense heat of the fire makes it soften. Now, mayim shebetocho yotzin. And whatever liquid is inside this thing kind of like drips out.
Evaporate.
Evaporate. Ula'acha shiyotzu mayim, Name of Kamit Miskasha. Then it becomes even harder. And that's what it does. The water, because of the intense heat, the water evaporates. And, you know, and then it hardens afterwards. And Bechirafi Bereisha Havi Bishula. So Rashi says that softening at the beginning, that softening at the beginning is what is a violation of Bishul. Okay, that's how Rashi learned. So apparently, an important point, Rashi seems to be learning that the definition of bishul, at least by solids, is you soften something through heat. You soften it. As we'll see later, the Rambam, you can take a look ahead now just for a second. Look at number 24, the Rambam, Berktes Halachavav, we'll come back to this, right? Hamatich echar mimine matchus. You harden this metal. 24, just for a second. We'll come back to it. The Rambam's Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tes Halacha Vav. We'll come back. Yeah.
How is Rashi
better than that? Back in a second. Okay. The Rambam. All right. Let's do that now. I just want to say the Rambam 24, which we'll come back to, seems to say even just the hardening. It doesn't have to go through the. No, just hardening it is also visual. The Rambam seems to be visual as any change in the texture, whether from soft to hard or hard to soft. Doesn't matter. Rashi seems to say it's only the softening. The second statement in the Gemara, okay, is Omar Rabba Bar back in 11. Okay, we'll come back to that Rabba today, Bez Hashem. But the second line of 11, Shabbos Ayin Dalam Reis, Omar Rabuna, Omar Rabba Bar Rabuna, Haiman the Arsa Kufra. Kufra is like Irsach, I'd say, Irsach Kufra. Irsach means it melting or like a softening. Okay, Kufra is pitch. Kufra, like by tar or pitch, like
I mean,
yeah, that's one thing, but it's in the Torah. The Torah is come up by the Teva. Noah, the bias mechutz, what's up with chavratos? The bias mechutz by kofar. That was a gimel. I don't know. It's a sulfur, but I'm not sure. But we have a dark note. When he made the table, they had to overlay the, you know, because to withstand the tossing of the waves. And so the chavratos on bias mechutz by kofar, or yeah, that's why. What's in Miriam did? Did she daft didn't use it? It's in the smell bed.
So that tachmona b'chem.
Can't you do it on the outside? Yeah, tachmona b'chem. Say kofar, I forgot it. Anyway, but zefness. Anyway, bottom line is he's melting down. Rashi says shehisich zefness. Okay. So chayav mishum mevashel. So that's also mevashel. So also to Pshita, you're melting it down. So he says, Mao, the same it came with the Hadar Vikushi, yeah, but eventually, you know, and your goal is to harden it, eventually becomes hard, that's your goal. Same law, I might have thought, no. So therefore, Kamashalan. And according to Rashi, it's a parallel. Okay, it's according to Rashi, it's a parallel. In both cases, it's softening first. That's the Malach of Bishul. And then later on it hardens. Yeah. Yeah, eventually. Eventually you want it to harden. Right. But the point is, the Bishul, what I'm trying to point out is that the Bishul, according to Rashi, the way Rashi is presenting here, if I'm saying it right, is a softening of a hard object through heat. The Rambam doesn't say that. If you look at 24, the Rambam seems to say even just the hardening of it is already Bishul. So I'll have to learn this Gemara differently. Okay, either say we don't pass that Gemara, I have to say, we'll see, the Lecha Mishnah in 25 is going to defend the Rambam, you know, because this Gemara seems to appear. It's only a problem of Bishul because first it gets soft, then it gets hard. The softening is the Bishul, yeah.
But the softening may involve the chance of the Bishul, because otherwise,
I don't understand how the Rambam makes that finish. The Bishul is very, very soft. Interesting. I'm not telling you what the Lecha Mishnah says, but it's part of the same. Yeah, so he's going to get the Lecha Mishnah and give a different reason. We'll get to the Rambam. At least according to Rashi, we understand. Okay, so that's what it says over here. Okay, you have to learn more. So just another couple of places where it comes up, okay, bottom line for us right now is this Bishul by non-foods is the point. That's clear. You're talking about tar and you're talking about, the pigs and something that I know is eating those things. All right. So there's also a similar, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, 13. Avodah Zarah Lamed Ches Manav. The topic there is Bishul Akum. Okay, there's all kinds of literature, you know. Is Bishul Akum the same as Bishul on Shabbos? Is the same as Bishul Basul Cholam? Okay. All right, anyway, so the Gemara there says, on Lamed Ches Manav, 13. Gufa. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, or Rabba Chana Bar Ami, or whatever it was, Amar B'Yochanan. It's in the name of B'Yochanan. Hai Ovid Kochabim, the Chorich Resha. Okay. Charech means burnt or singed. Okay. It means burnt up, slightly burnt, singed. The Sarg Resha, the head, he singed the head of an animal that was shechted. It's a kosher animal. So it says, Shari Lamecha Mina Afila Mereshuni. You're allowed to eat it. That's not a problem of Bishul Akum. Even because apparently he did it just to dry it up for a different thing. He did it for the head, but part of the head is edible. You can eat that part. Why? Because it wasn't his intention to be mevashal. That's the point. He's doing something else. Look at Rashi. I'm sorry, there's no Rashi yet, but he's saying that the goy, before we get to Rashi, the goy again singed charech reishi, singed this, the head, for some other reason to dry it out or anything else. It wasn't a bishul act. Lamaisa, it did to accomplish the cooking. So the Jew can still eat it. Even une, une means the ear, you know, part of the head. They take meat. I don't know how much meat there is in the ear.
But, huh? It didn't change it in a way that was like significant enough.
Right, which we'll come back to later, Bez Hashem. But the idea being, when it comes to Bishul Akum, not to our Shabbos here. When it comes to Bishul Akum, it has to be the intent of the goy to be mevasha. To be also a Bishul Akum. Huh?
What was the malacha that you said that there it applies in some ways differently with Shabbos than with other scenarios?
There are a few things like that.
Remind me, I remember the beginning of the last lesson.
Yeah, did we say, I'm just thinking about what it was, you're right. We said, well, did we bring up Bishul? Did I come with it?
I don't think we spoke about Bishul in that context. We spoke about other things. That a
malacha
would apply differently in different
malachic
contexts.
Maybe by kotzer, by shmita, maybe? I don't remember. For shmita, no. Right, we have the climb also. But by shmita, I have to remember. Okay, anyway, the rules aren't always the same. That's the point. Because it's not always the same, you know, it's the same word. Okay, but anyway, be that as it may, the Gemara says that it's not a problem of Bishul Akum. Okay? Sure. So the Gemara says, Omar Vina. So Rina then says, Hilchach, in the second line of 13, Hai Obi Kacham the Shad the Sich Tilachtuna. Let's say a guy was doing what we want to do. He was putting a peg, not on Shabbos, he was putting a peg inside an oven. Let's understand this naturally. We all have our own individual ovens in our kitchen today. In the olden days, there used to be, many places, in effect, a communal oven. Or in the courtyard, there was a big oven, it was dangerous to have it inside. It fires, could burn the house down. So they would have, like, in the courtyard or the town, you know, a big oven that people come and, you know, you learn that too if you didn't already at the end of the first minute of Basra Cholov. You know, if people come in, the guard put his thing there and now can you use the same oven? He cooked his meat. And, you know, okay, but they used to have these type of communal ovens. Okay? And so here, the Gemara says, so the guy was using this oven to harden his pig.
On Shabbos?
No, not on Shabbos. Meanwhile, a Jew had his kara, his squash, some vegetable in there, cooking. Okay, the Jew had already put it in. But now the goy went ahead, look at the language of the Gemara, Hilchach, high overcome the shadda sikhsalatunim, right? He tossed his peg into the oven, all right? The cover by Yisrael, kara made kara. Kara had been buried, like, buried in the ground. He had placed inside there prior to this. Okay, look in Rashi, okay? Now look in Rashi there.
And That it's okay,
that
it's fine.
So Gemara says, it's not, you can go ahead, shop for them. You can eat, the Jew can eat that vegetable. Forget the peg. He doesn't care about the peg. The guy is doing whatever he's doing with the peg. He's in the peg business. So he's drying out pegs. Meanwhile, though, he added fire. He, you know, made it, helped this thing cook. So maybe this should be a problem. Bishul Akum.
Then
there
was the peg of travel.
No. It's the same oven. So by the fire, nothing with the tongue. But he stoked the fire. He contributed to the cooking. Because of him, the vegetable cooked much faster because he put more wood on the fire. He intensified the heat. So at the end of the day, he cooked the vegetable. He had cooked the vegetable. Let's say the Jew put it. Let's say it wasn't the Jew put the thing in there. He's going to come back an hour from now and light it. Meanwhile, while he was out, in the office, the guy did it. So Lamaisi cut back. The thing is cooked. It was cooked by the guy. The guy had absolutely no intention to cook this vegetable. And he was trying to dry the pet. Just so happens that he cooked the vegetables. So now can the Jew eat it? It's a bishlakam problem. Or says shapritam. It's not a problem. Okay? And look at Rashi. This has nothing to do with Shabbos. He said, but Zohar, Laman, Chesed, and Av, talking about bishlakam, nothing to do with Shabbos. Okay? So look at Rashi. To dry it out, whatever that's you got to do with the pegs, you got to dry out, whatever. The cover where you saw carmen, carmen hit me, you saw batana delas, chaya, a raw delas. Delas is like a pumpkin, a squash, not family, gourd. Okay, I don't like any of them, but zucchini, one of those in the squash family. Okay, so he did that kodem shahusakataner before the flames were stoked up. Okay. He was planning to come back later. You know, his wife told him, cook this up. So he dropped off. He got to go to the store and get something. So he'll come back in 20 minutes and start the fire. Meanwhile, the guy started the fire.
But the fire wasn't on.
Right. I'm saying, code him. Yeah. Even if it was on, you could argue it was maybe on very low and he made it faster. But well, Karashi keeps it simpler. It wasn't even on yet. I said, code him. Before the, again, it could be because Bishalakum can also apply, even if the Jew, all right, Ramah is a cooler, that's what we rely on today, as long as the Jew had some hand in it, it's good enough. That's what we rely on in all the restaurants. Right, the Chinese restaurant owned by Goyim or Garsha Cook, but the Mashkiach has to turn the flame on, as long as you know. It's a problem, actually, for the Chinese restaurants, because some of these things splatter, and then you look at it, all of a sudden there's a big fire, so they knock it out, turn it off, but the Jew has to, the Mashkiach has to turn it back on, okay? That's a cool of the Ramon. I don't want to hold it. The Chabad disagrees. You learn that in your day. At the end of your day, in your day here, you learn Pasuk Chalav Tarovis. And at the end of the year, this is when I taught it the last couple of the cycles. I did Pasuk Chalav the first month, Tarovis the second month, and then June's month, we did Pasakum and Bishalakum and Agolas Kalim and Tefilas Kalim. You learn that business when you're having the opposition. Anyway, yeah, so the bottom line is that the guy ended up cooking it, right? But it's okay. So, and this bashal, mimele, this bashal the last. Meanwhile, this gourd, or this pumpkin, or whatever, was cooked. Surprise, right? So the Gemara says, Shapir Dami. Rashi says in the fourth line, 14, he had absolutely no intention of cooking. So we need to understand very briefly, what's the whole zero of Bishalakamote? What's wrong with food cooked by God? It's kosher food. We're not talking about non-kosher food here. It's perfectly kosher food, not kosher. Okay, Chol Yisrael, whatever you want to call it. They're all the miles. Okay, and a guy cooked it. What's the problem? It's an old, huh? It's an old, very old there, by the way. Old there. But it's exera to minimize social interaction between Jew and non-Jew. And since food is something which is very often associated with social get-togethers, parties, and so on, so the same thing with wine, wine. So on, people drink. So therefore, by saying a Jew can't eat cooked food cooked by a non-Jew, it's a gather basically for chasnas, for intimacy, it minimizes social contact. Let me tell you something, world in the Shiva Baruch Hashem, but my wife, was a nurse for many years, and she was an administrator at NYU Medical, and she had to go to conferences and this and that. She let me tell you something, if you're out in that world, the non-Yeshiva world, the eating, or ask some of your parents, eating is a big thing. Okay, the food barrier is a big barrier because she'll go to a conference and then they'll all go out to dinner and you can't come. You've got to sit there eating some klutzy salad or having a glass of water, while they're eating these fancy steaks, right? Yeah.
I heard Tommy, there were a few different professional sectors. Not one of the common discussions that I've heard is where they
eat. Yeah, no, that's absolutely the case.
It's a big thing.
Right, food, restaurants, my wife, again, I'm in yeshiva my whole life, but you're out in the world and conferences and business meetings and so forth. It's always, and the fact, she can't go, you can't, they're all going out to restaurants, she can't go. That does do something with the social, because I'm what they're talking about. It's an issue. if you do go. Somehow they can always tell that you're Jewish anyway. Maybe not with the women, but the men, they can always tell that you're Jewish. First of all, what's your order? I once heard Rabbi Pesach Krohn, the one who gives all the speeches, so he wrote the Maggid books. So he once told the story, he said a friend of his is a businessman. He had to go to all places, to Berlin for some major conference, in business. And he got a head, he didn't wear his yarmulke, couldn't stand out as a Jew. You know, not because of the Holocaust, it's because, you know, and he was in this room, thousands of people, in this big, what a big room, different tables, networking and this and that, whatever the job was. And they had for entertainment these minstrels, you know, these musicians who were like walking around the room playing like background music, the great sort of ambiance, you know, whatever it was. And so he's sitting there at this table with other guys. And when the minstrel came, and he wasn't wearing his yarmulke, because the minstrel came to his table and started to play Habanagila. How do you know? Like, somehow they can always figure it out. I don't know. He said, like, it's a shock. You know?
I had a friend who he himself, he's not Orthodox. So
yeah.
He used to be some of them. And he got motorcycle lessons in LA. And the instructor, there was an instructor giving out the instructions, and he explained them how to do it. He was teaching them how to use a motorcycle, and then he like dismissed them.
Yeah.
And he walked up to my friend and just like, you know, there's no control here. Like,
I believe it. Somehow, that's what Cronin's trying to say. Somehow, just to kill her. Maybe women, it's easier. I don't know. Anyway, getting back to our issue. So that's why Chazal goes up Bishalakim. Yeah, that's how it goes up Bishalakim. So now you understand. If the guy's whole purpose wasn't cooking to begin with, he was just trying to dry out his peg. So you get the Gzair never applied. He wasn't cooking. You understand? So that's what the Gemara then says. Then the Gemara says,
Rabbi, I just want to ask if corn, you know, like corn, a lot of times you go to the farms and they sell grilled corn. Is that similar to a guy making the gourd?
It would be a problem. It probably would be. Yeah.
So especially corn is
not a kosher problem. We don't stuff that's good. No. Now, one of the coolers. Well, now there are a few coolers. Okay. Right. What else? No. He's saying they only use that grill. So you don't know. Now there are some heterim. For example, certain vegetables. I would say corn is not one of them. One of the heterim. You'll learn about this in a lot of Bishlakim. One of the heterim is. If something can be eaten just as well raw and the guy cooked it up, that's a kula for bishalakum. Corn, I don't think fits in that category, but let's say, you know, the baked apples or whatever. You can eat the apple raw, so you didn't do enough to change. You know what I'm saying? But the things that are eaten raw, just the same.
But that, like tea or coffee, like being at water.
Yes, what I'm saying. So water also, since it can be eaten raw and so on and so forth. So that's why you go to Dunkin' Donuts. Anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll learn that the other day. Anyway, but getting back to our issue. So now that's the Gemara. And because he was only Mechavin, so now the Gemara asks, after they quote the Amar Avinu, the second line of 13, Gemara Chazan, Amar Avinu Hilcha, how did the Chavim destroy the Sifat to recover his home, Karmi, Kar Shapri, and obviously, where's the Pita, obviously. That's what we just learned from Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan just told us in the previous statement that if he singed the head, with absolutely no intention of being Mavashal anything, so Mamela Jew can eat the part that was incidentally cooked. So he just said that. What do you have to bring another case for? Right? What's the Ravina adding? That's the Gemara's kasha, pshita. What is Ravina adding? He just said, Riochon said, that if the guy didn't have the intention to cook something. So you gave another example of the guy not having had intention to cook something. It's not Bishlakim Shkoyach. We figure that on our own. That's the question. Or says, no. Mahu the same with Bashule Mona Kamachavin. No, I might have thought that, no, he does have intent to, you know, to cook something. It is a form of Bishul. It is a form of bishul. You are, you know, as Rashi says, because he knows he has to soften it up first. So it is bishul. He may not know halachically it's bishul, but you know, it is lemaisa. His intention is to do bishul. He doesn't understand that that's bishul, but his intention is to do bishul. So maybe we should be machmir. So kamash v'lola sharure mona kamechamen. No, his only goal was to strengthen the peg. Okay. So ask Tosus 1 second. Tosus there in Avodah Zarah, that's against us. Tosus in Avodah Zarah, Lamechesim and Aleph, ask, Dibavasu Kamash 1:15. 1 second. You told me, no, that's not called Bishul because all he wanted to do was harden L'sharure, strengthen the peg. L'sharure money coming in. Yeah, but in Shabbos, on Daf Ayin Beis, we just learned that putting the peg in is a form of Bishul. So you understand the kasha tells us? How can the Gemara? The Gemara concludes, no, that's not Bishul because his intention was just to, you know, to harden the peg. Yeah, but in Shabbos we learned that putting the peg in is called Bishul. That tells us kasha. Right? That is called Bishul. So how come a Bishul Akum is not called Bishul? Right? So the answer is no. Hainu le'inyan Shabbos. Oh, it's not the same. Le'inyan Shabbos. The Afal Gav do Sharuri Mona Kamichman. Even though when it comes to Shabbos, your intent is, you know, to strengthen the peg and so on. Become Okum, Humavashul Ptas. Okay? You're cooking a little bit, and Begamla also Bishul Guru Hamiskavan. You want that, and therefore Begabe Shabbos Hechmiru by Shabbos were Machmir Machshivo to consider it Bishul. Aval inyan Bishule of the Kochavim Lo Chashim Eino Chayvad Sheiskavan Lo Bishul Gomor. The dinim are different by Bishul Akum and Bishul on Shabbos. That's what comes out. Okay, by Bishul Akum. And it's basically, bottom line, is that putting this peg in the oven is a lower form of bishul. Right? It's not real bishul. It's not, you're not going to eat whatever it is. It's getting the liquid out, softening it first. It's a lower form of bishul. So for Hilchos, bishul akum purposes, that's not enough to be included in the getter of bishul akum. Okay, and you can argue, because bishul akum is only darbanon to begin with. So by darbanon, they weren't machmer. But bishul on Shabbos is a deraisa. So therefore, anything that stacks a bishul is included. That's what comes out. Right? So that's the Tosus. That's the Tosus. The truth about it is the Tosus is also in Shabbos. I printed the Tosus on the Rock. I thought it was written a little more clearly. You can look it up. Tosus on the Daf and Shabbos and Dalmei is also give the same parents. I thought it was clearer than the Tosus on the Rock. Okay? I do want to point out a little bit of a different. Other Rishonim are bothered by this too. Let's say I printed 1670 in the Chedusha Ramban. And then the Kiddush Ritval on the on our Daf and Shabbos on the Daf there's the same kasha, okay? Kiddush Ramban 16 on the Daf and okay? Same thing. So he asked it the other way. He asked from Shabbos to Avodah Zarah. He says kasha lehu l'talmida. I was asked by one of my talmidim. Mehod the maskin maseches Avodah Zarah gabe bishul goyim to surah money kamechaven. That's not called bishul. Same kasha, right? The Ramban asked the same kasha. Or Beishlomar. The Alpha God, the Mechavan, the Shulim Money.
What's that Bishul?
By Avodah Zarah, we said putting the peg in is not called Bishul. We said the Ramban raises the question, his commentary here on Shabbos, it's against the Gemara Avodah Zarah. Tosan Avodah Zarah said it's against the Gemara Shabbos. It's the same. No, Tosan's answer. Tosan's answer that Shabbos and Bishul Akum are different. So again, that was Tosan's territory. So Shabbos, Bishul by Shabbos and Bishul Akum are different. Bishul by Bishul Akum has to be real bona fide Bishul. Heating up a peg that it melts a little bit first or whatever it is, that doesn't bother me for Bishul Akum purposes. Presumably because Bishul Akum is like Darbonah to start with. So that's not enough Bishul. But Shabbos with Bishul Daraisa.
No,
it doesn't mean food, but it has to be a more tighter type of bishul. Just to putting a peg in that softens a little bit, that's not enough bishul. Like a stronger, more, you know, more bona fide type of bishul.
That doesn't seem to be an answer.
Why? Because what the softening of it as a prelude to hardening the peg is not enough bishul for bishul akum purposes.
I'm not sure what those words mean.
Maybe it's a temporary type of result. Okay, it's a temporary result. It just softens up, but then it gets hard. Okay, and that's not the essence of bishul. One of the rationale, the essence of bishul is to soften something. When you cook vegetables, okay, you have a hard, whatever your vegetable, a hard potato, you put it in, it becomes soft. That's the goal. So here, the fact that it's temporary. What's that? Oh, one second. We'll get to those separately. But I'm talking about bishul now, actually cooking. Most things you're cooking, it's so it becomes soft. The ultimate goal is to soften it up, right? So it's too tough now.
Baking,
huh?
All of baking.
Yeah, to bake, we'll have to come back to that. But the cream is up, process and so on. We'll go back to that. But when it comes to bishul akum, that's not enough bishul. The temporary state that it softens a little bit is not enough. It's called bishul. Whereas by Shabbos it is, because Shabbos the right, so it's stricter. Mm-hmm. Ramban has the same kashin. Okay, kashul tamid mehad maskim said the zarga bishul gam shul mana kavar. Yes, Lomar, the alpha god bishul the iu mechavan shul mana kavan the efshar elin kain rofi mekar gabi Shabbos chayav the moder shilim psi someone has before psi creation the loyamos. Okay, the only way to do it is by softening it. That's the only way it becomes hard eventually. Is the first, as you said, the water evaporates. Is the first it becomes soft. So that's the only way to do it. But what do you mean? That wasn't his intention. Yeah, but by Shabbos, we're machmer psik reisha, right? We're machmer psik reisha for Shabbos. There's no psik reisha by bishul akum. Okay, we don't say, well, it's the only way to do it. Okay, but it's not going to be called bishul. Okay, there's no psik reisha by bishul akum. So that's it's a different answer. That's the Ramban's answer. Okay, the Shabbos is different. You could work it into Tosas because he ends by saying Kach Matarz and Tosas. It's not exactly our Tosas, maybe it's a different level, but in essence, it is really like Tosas because the Tosas is saying why Shabbos is different. Why is it different? So I said, well, maybe because it's not permanent. He said, because no secretion. The Ritva, look at the Ritva, 17, there in Shabbos, I am down on the base. Because the Ritva writes, well, I think I've said it before, I think among the Spanish, Rishon, the Ritva is the clearest writer, okay, in terms of, you know, just presentation. I think the Rush is clearer than the Balei Tosas. You know, just okay, so people write. Now the Chiddush Ritva and Shabbos and Daven Avdim was a high man. Okay, he same thing, but cautiously, right? The Masechet Avodah Zarah, I mean Ipcha, right? He points out very clearly, it seems to be a steer to the Gemara Avodah Zarah. Because Gemara Avodah Zarah says putting the peg in is not Bishul, the Shabbos said it is Bishul. Yeah.
What if a non-Jew puts a peg in an oven for you on Shabbos?
If a non-Jew puts a peg in the oven for you, a non-Jew, but no, you definitely not a question.
Here, what's you understand the question, right? If we're talking about Shabbos problem, then basically, what is Amiro enough for you really a problem? Is it a problem of a non-Jew doing something for you, or is it a problem of Shabbos?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, you're not allowed to have the non-Jew do anything you can't do. So it's kind of both. Whatever you can't do, then you can't ask the non-Jew to do.
Right. So in this case, so which one?
I'd say you can't ask the non-Jew to do. Okay. Anyway, so Tirtzu B'Tosas, the Hochel in Shabbos Ichmiru, the Vada B'Sichzazush, he said, and he gives a teretz, you know, he points out the steer that the Einbo Mishum Mishul, the peg case is Einbo Mishum Mishul Goyim. And over here we have it. It is Bishul for Shabbos. Tirtzu B'Tosas, the Hochel in Shabbos Ichmiru, the Vada B'Sichzazush, Shtei Melachos Yishbo, Bishul Imona, Kadei Rafim Rafay, Shur Imona, Kad Komet, right? The two things happen, the two stages, it softens and hardens. Ule Inyan Shabbos, Ro'u L'Chai B'Shim Nuvasho, She'af Shavasho Miskaven, Delo Efshar L'Shruel B'Lo Hafi. You can't strengthen any other way. Avo Hosel, Inyan Bishul Goyim, Dor Bonon, Kevin, the Iker Kavanosel L'Shur Imona. His goal, yeah, he knows it has to soften, but there's no secretia. The goal is really to harden it, strengthen it, and therefore ain lech in lahakmer lesser. Okay, so that's the can't teach manager. Well, that's what he says. Okay, now I do want to mention I glossed over it before. I think that's what he doesn't. The Ramban mentioned secretia. He doesn't. He just says, yeah, he just says the kavana. He says that, you know, wasn't his kavana. Yeah, okay, but secretion is the next step of those. I think it is. I think it's the same thing. I do want to show you something that I glossed over before on purpose. Okay, look in 14. The Rashi and Avodah Zarah has an interesting thing. It's Kamash Malan at the end. Ain Bishul B'Kalim. At least with regards to Bishul Akum, there's no Bishul by Kalim. That's, you see that Rashi? It's a three-word Rashi. It's the third to last line of Source 14 out of Bazar. Lam Chesmalav. Kamashmalav, the Ain Bishul B'Kalim. There's no Bishul on Kalim. So that's what Rashi says. But again, because he holds that the Isser, you know, is softening. You know, and here, and by the peg, you know, you could argue that it makes it harder in the end. All right? But the Rambam, as we'll see, is even hardening his Bishul, even hardening his Bishul. So what's he going to do with this Gemara? You know, to do this Gemara, even Harding alone is also, yeah. Say again. Right. Okay. You're not concerned. Okay. But I'm just saying it could be that the Rambam would hold, would accept it. The Rambam will hold that even hardening is a problem. I showed you. We'll come back to this shortly. Rambam 24 could say it will be true by Bishul Akum true. Maybe we don't pass like the Gemara. Maybe in Chalami. If the Rambam says that Bishul is Bishul, even if it makes something soft hard, never mind the fact that it gets soft in between. He's not interested in that. Even if it's totally to make something hard, like maybe you said with toast, whatever else, that's also called Bishul. Could be that the Rambam would say that my Bishul Akum would also be a problem. You know, that we don't pass like this Gemara. It's possible. That's all I'm saying. It's possible. What's that?
It's very easy to resolve. You say there's no calculation.
Well, why would
because technically it's the halacha.
Because it's self exempt.
We're not worried that it's going to lead to.
Yeah, but okay, because it's not going to be cooking. But no, but you could say that anything which is called bishul halacha, a bishul halacha is going to happen. It's part of the gzeri, even if it wouldn't apply. You could argue that too. It's gzeri. Yeah, I understand. I understand. Okay, let's I want to do another side. This is all part of the episode.
What is it?
What
does it mean,
bishul
halacha? Bishul
No, I'm not. You know, because it doesn't directly. But I'm saying it is aim. I don't think he means aim bishul halacha ever. You know, because you know this case, there. So it probably means aim bishul halacha by bishul halacha. Okay, that's not a statement by Shabbos, right? Because we do it because if you soften something up, there's going to be even according to Rashi. So I'm just pointing out it's a funny statement, ain't bishul kalim, right? So presumably he means ain't bishul akum kalim, by Shabbos it could be. Whereas the Rambam, I was just saying why? Because you know the goal of there is always to make it hard. That's the end of it. Rambam says Rashi says it's not bishul. But according to the Rambam, if you would subscribe to this, would say maybe we don't pass like that tomorrow. And that's the side point. Okay. But now the other one to look at, just again, it's all part of Hakdama tradition. We'll get into the nitty gritty. We'll start it today. Given that Bishul now applies to even non-foods, okay, so what about throwing, when you put the wood on the fire? Now that's mavir, you're burning, is also bishul, because you know your whatever happens to the wood crackles up, right? So I mean, what you know, it's in question, right? So the, so you know what I'm asking? Is it also maybe a vial to the office with a it's certainly havara to light wood. I mean, it should also be bishul. You're changing the item through heat, right? Yeah, no, you could ask what the difference. Maybe you could have a case one. I don't know. So that's the question. So it's interesting. It might be a machlokas, huh?
You're not stopping the heart.
Right. Oh, so what are you actually doing? You're destroying it. So right. Yeah. It changes. Something happens chemically, but you know, scientifically. But it could be a machlokas about mishali possibly. Can I just want to show it to you, and then we'll get into defining mishal. Here's a gemara in the Yavam. It's Lamed Gimel Beis 18. Where asked basically Zor Sheshimesh B'Shabbos. Non-coin, Zar means literally the stranger, means in this context, a non-coin, called a Zar carving. Sheshimesh B'Shabbos. Okay, he did some of the Beis HaMikdash activities, which he's not allowed to do, and it was on Shabbos. The other case, Balmum Sheshimesh B'Tum, is not our case now. Yesh Khan Mishum Zoros Mishum Shabbos. He violates the Isser of Zar, not allowed to do the role of a coin, and also violates Shabbos, presumably under the right side, and Chayim Chatzis of Shogun and so on. So our ask, Zor Sheshimesh B'Shabbos B'Mai, what exactly did he do in terms of Shabbos? Zor, we understand, okay, he's a non-coin. What did he do in terms of Shabbos? So first of all, let's ask actually what I forgot that question is too. What did he do as a Zor? B'Mai. E B'Shchita, if you tell me he wasn't allowed to shech, no, Shchita K'sher B'Zor. A non-coin is allowed to shech the animal. You're ready for a carbon. A non-coin is allowed to shech. The E be kabbalah v'halacha. And if you're telling me his role was, he had the bowl in which the dam spilled, and he had to bring the dam to that called kabbalah v'halacha. Blood goes into the bowl, and you got to bring the bowl over to the mizbeach where you're going to sprinkle it, you know, like dam for a carbon. But so now I understand where. So as we ask, what did he do? So it was shechita. That's true. That would be a Shabbos problem. It's not a Zohar problem. The Gemara says you violate two things, right? With the one act, you violate being a czar, doing that vote as a czar, and you violate Shabbos. In the case again, czar sheshimesh b'Shabbos. So you did two things wrong. You acted as a kohen while being a czar, and you violate Shabbos. So Gemara says, what are the metzias here exactly? The Gemara says, if you're telling me he did shechita, okay, that's a problem on Shabbos, not a shech on Shabbos, but it's not a problem for czar. So that can't be the case. And be'ibe kabbalah b'halacha. Okay, that is a problem for a czar. A czar is not allowed to be the one who gets the blood out of the animal and who brings the bowl or the pan of blood to his bath. He can't do that. That would talk to be a czar problem. But that's not a Shabbos. What do you violate on a Shabbos? Tiltu ba'amli. The book says, the rabbana, the thought, what do you do? So that can't be the case. So what is the case? Gemara says, and Iba Haktara, if you're telling me he threw the stuff onto the fire, okay, threw the animal parts, whatever is onto the fire, that's also probably bizarre, but it's not a Shabbos problem, at least according to Rabbi Yossi, Dama Havara Lav Yotzis. So that was one of the beginning of the year. According to Rabbi Yossi, Havara is a lesser violation of Shabbos. Remember we had that? We talked about that, right? Havara Lav Yotzis. Okay, it's only a Lav. So where do you see the problem? I don't really care about the rest of the Gemara in terms of that. It's not our issue now. Look in Rashi, Lam and Gimel, Shechita Bizarre, Ksher of Ein Kam Zoros. Okay, if we talk about the Shechita, well, that's not a violation. It's a violation of Shabbos for Sheshech on Shabbos, but not a violation of Zar, because it's non-coined allowed to Shem. On the other hand, if we talk Kabbalah Halacha, that's a violation of Zar, but it's not a violation of Shabbos, because Tiltu Ba'amu Ein Kam Shavuz. And Iba Akhtar, Rabbi Yossi, Hechem Mechayim Chaz, is from the Shabbos. Right? That's what they're talking about. Hamar Biosi, Parakama, Havar, Alav Yotzes. Okay. What is conspicuously absent from this discussion? The Vasha. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe the Shabbos problem was Bishul. Okay. Even though Havar, Alav Yotzes, so it wouldn't be a Chiv Chatas. Yeah, but if throwing the wood on the fire is also a problem Bishul, so there you have your Shabbos violation finished. And even according to Biosi. Even when Yossi says Havara Lav Yotzes, but still Bala Bishul. I'm saying that. Well, I mean that's LMI, it's not Bishul. The Gemara doesn't say it. LMI, that's not Bishul. Right? That's what I'm saying. Okay, so that's LMI is one of those yeshivish expressions, right? I think in the you ever see somebody wrote it with the dictionary of yeshivish. A lot of clever stuff in there. So I think on the LMI, he always gives examples of what the Shu's expression is. So the two guys fall on base. Imagine one guy says, according to your story, a pig should be able to fly. LMI, you're wrong. Okay, that's a different LMI. So that's what's going on here. So why should it be? So some explain, because since your goal here when burning something, you said it, even if you're changing the texture, your ultimate goal is to be left with nothing. Okay, you're changing it from wood into fire, into ashes or whatever. Okay, but your goal is to destroy. But I do want to point out that not everyone agrees that the Kibbeh Eger there on the dolphin, sends you to Yerushalmi. Okay, Yerushalmi says, Kevan, our Gemara didn't bring up Bishul, but Yerushalmi did. Yerushalmi says, Kevan, who wrote the Mikula, Kimavashal. Since you want to consume it, that's Mavashal. That's how the according to Yerushalmi, it's per Beis Halacha Hey. That's the same Gemara as Yerushalmi. Look at 21 for a second. Zar Shishimesh the Mikdash B'Shabbes U'Balmum Shemitzuma Reb Chiva Beru Barabba Or Shtayim Al Daid Behuda Do Omer Mishum Mavir Nicha Al Daid Beyosi Do Omer Mishum Vashal My Bishul Yeshkan. Oh, why is a Bishul? Gemara said Mekayim and Shurotz Be'Achula K'Mavashal. Both the Korban Eda and the Pnei Moshe explain. You want to equal Eivorim. So it's like Mevashim. So maybe it's a Machokas, Babel and Yerushalmi, where they're putting the wood on will also be Bishul. The Babel never mentioned it. Yerushalmi entertains it. Okay, side point. Yeah, question. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Could be a Tumah. So Bekiva Eger sends you to, sends you to Yerushalmi. So that's what I'm there. Okay, Bekiva Eger tells you, take a look at that Yerushalmi. And I said, there is a problem with maybe a Bishul. Yeah. Okay, so now let's one other point that kind of like Agdama. We said it before. We come back to this Rambam. So here we are. Perek Tes and Lichul Shabbos Halacha Vov. So again, Bishul is a change of a substance or via heat, right? So the Rambam says it doesn't matter what the substance is. Hamatich Echad meaning Matchas Kolshu or Mechamem Es Hamatchas. You heat up metal that melts a little bit, like a chel, so it becomes hard like a coal. Hariza told us Ravashal. Bechain Hamimases Adora, Bachele, Zephas, a kofer, my gophers, you guys remember all these things, he's so distinguishing kofer and gophers. All these different things, because Hariza told us Mavashal Machaya. Bechain Mavashal clay adoma to make it into pottery. Now pottery is made out of earth, right? That's one of the tefillah and so on. So you put it, you make a nice shape or colors or whatever, and then you bake it. You will go on one time in your life, maybe nursery school to make pottery, and they make pottery. Okay, or you've seen it. So anyway, that's also, all of this is under Bishul. says the Rambam at the end. Klolo shel davar. Here's the rule. Davar, he says, davar bein klolos davar bein sharifa. It's the word, not sharifa. Bein sharifa, you soften guf kasha beish. Oh, shehik shagufra. Doesn't matter. Rambam doesn't make any chiluk. Okay, whether you soften something that was hard, you harden something soft. Harei zechay mushavash. Rambam does not accept that. We said earlier that the real is softening. I the Gemara in Rav Azar that said that there's the distinction. I want Shabbos to see the distinction. So lechem mishnah and others are raised by the kash. You hear the Rambam though? The Rambam says again, it's shaykh by non-foods, and it doesn't matter whether you're hardening something soft or softening something hard. Whatever the fire does to change the substance, that's bishul chayim shemavashim. So the lechem mishnah, according to 25, the lechem mishnah perak tesel lechavav, right? Kosher the perak kol gadol amra haiman the shodni sichsa the peg latuna chayim shemavashim bikshu pshita the tirtzu ma the same shor kama chavin kama shalom the mir for rafa hada kama adkan. Upirish Rashi, we saw this already. Upirish Rashi, we saw the Rashi. Rafi ayde choma or by mayim shetocha, the liquid comes out, evaporates, and so on. Then it hardens again. Rafi bereisha b'bishul, that's the bishul. Bishul the besichsi lav the rafi with kilav mechayim. Okay, it sounds like if not for the fact that it's softened first, it wouldn't be chayim. Yeah, but the Rambam just said chayim even makes something soft into something hard. That's enough. What do you have to give the Torah to the Gemara? Gave the Torah. Well, it softens first, then it becomes hard. According to the Rambam, you don't need that. So why do you want to do that? Okay? He says, sounds like Mashma, the Besichsa, the peg case, he loved the Rafi with Chilo Abachai. They had Kostav, she would call Malkum Shikshul Guf, Arach Shachai. Right? You understand the Kasha? So he answers to the Rambam, Yishlomar, the who sobered the whole Dover Lachshon is Mashma, Afa Pishim is Kasha Chai, Bishum Bishul, do it the Ofa. He says, well, you were saying, someone else said, right? First he says, anything which becomes hardened is called bishul. Okay, even if it's going to be hard later, it's all bishul. But as far as the sixth is concerned, it's klei adama, ha-perish ma'u, the same as she'ena osu shum alocha, sharem chazokim. I might have thought, that's how he learned in one of those words. Not a matter of softening first. I might have thought the thing is hard to begin with. All you do is make it harder. You're mechazik, you make it stronger. Okay, the habmina was that nothing really changed with the peg. It wasn't a significant change in the texture of the substance. It was hard, but now it's harder. But it was already hard. That's what he says. Shem chazokim na adam chazokim yosir. Kavashron shechayav al abishman shutchila eish marafa osam anasa harkam makshal osam. Okay, but here he's saying the Gemara's Havmina was that maybe making something hard, which is hard already, okay, just make it a little more hard, that means what to Kamashalon. No, Kamashalon, that it be, you know, it becomes soft, and so on. Then. Well, he's basically saying that the distinction is a distinction in not so much a degree. It's a distinction in degree as opposed to kind. You know, the Rambam is saying, the Nachmish is saying, the Rambam says when it comes to the difference of the peg and everything else, the peg, it's already strong. It's not that there has to be a more significant change. But according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter which way the change goes, from soft to hard or hard to soft.
Rashi would have mattered either. Rashi just told it needs a more significant change. So it had to be that it was hard to soft and then hard again.
Yeah, maybe.
Even if it became a little harder, that's not going to change.
Yeah, I hear. If you're saying, yeah, okay. Anyway, but the point is that's why the Rambam can get out of the Sugya of Ozar. We don't pass it that way. Okay? And, you know, we can give this a tarot that there's not enough of a change. In a similar way, the Mordechai in Shabbos, from his Tuf Lamed Dalet, okay, that the issue with the liquid and so on, oh, yes, I'm from Bishon, Oman, the Shalit Sikhotun, the Chayim, Mishum Mavash, he brings up our case. Talk about somebody, another Isser. Okay, the Isser is, look at the beginning. Let's say I have laundry. I was in the machine. came out right before Shabbos then. Before Shabbos started. It was soaking wet. So he said, can I put that next to the fire brink? Can I put that next to the fire to dry? Okay, and we'll sit there over Shabbos. So he says, you know, it should be allowed and so on. And in general, the machlokes by Shabbos Hillel. Yeah. Oh, it says something else. When it comes to the, you see, with the peg, even if they're dry, the water comes out, that droplets of water can also be cooked up. All right, anyway, then that's in terms of the, just in terms of defining it. And again, we see that there is nothing not limited to food. Now, I'd just like to begin, okay? I mentioned the following. Just to get started. So when it comes to bishul and food, there are two different types of foods. There's a davar yavesh, dried foods, solids, and there's davar lach, lamaches lach, yavesh and lach. And the rules are going to be different in those cases, we're going to see. So let's first look at source number, where are we now? 30, right? I'm sorry, 27. But what did I do this out of order? Oh, no, I'm sorry. We'll do it this way. It's fine. Okay. I'm sorry. There's one more introductory comment. I mixed it up. Bishul is an unusual malacha, although we saw others like it, like Zorea, where the result or the malacha is not really done until quite a while after you do the action. I put up a kettle on a burning stove. 20 minutes later, it becomes hot. I was in the other room, not in there anymore. Right? The maisa, what I do. Right? So that's an interesting point by Bishul. By other things too, it's not the only one. But look what the Gemara says on Gimel and Beis, 27. The boy of Bibi Barabaye, hidbik pas bitanor. Okay, I put bread into the oven to bake. Okay, but they would put it along the, not today, but today we have baking tins, and they would put it like flat on the oven, even on the sides of the oven, huh?
The yellow sheets?
Yeah, this is a...
It's similar to my Zoria, I know.
Yeah, as I said, it's one of the reasons may not have cured this happen now on the layer. By Bishul, look at it here, it's a similar hakir, mm-hmm. But here by Bishul Greek. So hidbik pas bitanor, Rashi says, b'shabbos b'shogeg. And then I realized, oh my gosh, Shabbos. Right, maybe it was one. Maybe it was a 3-day yontif. So he was used to doing it. Her wife was baking Thursday, Friday. Threw something up in Shabbos. Gets up early Shabbos morning, 6 o'clock in the morning to cook for lunch, and then she forgot. She put the on Shabbos. She put this bread in also. Okay, so it says he didn't pass the Shabbos. The nisker shum Shabbos kodom seteafet, but she realized it before. Didn't bake. She or he, whatever the person, realized it 2 minutes later. Right. So says Rabbi Bar Abaye. He'd be paspatari tiro le radosa kodem shiyavale de chivchados olawi tiro. Can I take it out? Now, there's a rule called something called vidya sapas. The rabbanon on Shabbos is not allowed to do that. Can I violate this rabbanon to prevent me from the bread's going to stay in there? It's going to end up baked. I'll violate the baking retractor. Can I take it out or not? That's the question of Gemara. Hidbik pasbatan Shabbos shoking, the nis is gimel and beis. The nisker shu Shabbos kodem shneifet. The kavalan the diyas hapas shavusi shichach. It's a shus. Okay, it's a rabbanon. It's not a real malacha. It's a rabbanon. Fine. He tirul oasis b'divrayim. The yirdena kodem shneifet v'ischayim shum alfesh shu amalacha. I'd rather not violate that malacha. So they were matir. I could take it out or aloi tirul ledos hotzion atar. That's the question. So the Gemara has a shot to fire. But the conclusion is that it's mutter because bishul happens when only at the conclusion of the malacha. That's the Rambam Paskins over there in Perek Tes of Shabbos. Okay, 29. Rambam writes shocha the hidbik pas patanam Shabbos the nizkar mutter l'dos or kontra yafem yavam l'de malacha.
That's possible to measure. Like
what?
Once you put your chair in the oven, it's constantly cooking from the time you put it in.
Right, that's true, but. Well, we'll see. That'll segue into the next thing. At what point is something considered cooked? Vilchus Shabbos. Segues right in. And from here, we'll see a difference in yavesh, dry food, solids, and lach. So let's begin this, and then we'll just begin this. A couple of the Gemara says Shabbos chof manal itmar nami. Amar of Asi, Amar biyachin. Kol shu kemachal ben drusoi. Ein bo mishul mishul enochet. Back to mishlakum. Okay. So, ben drusoi, who is ben drusoi? The most famous bandit in Jewish history. Okay, the most famous bandit in Jewish history. Ben drusoi, says Rashi, there in Chafman al-Zol, Chafman al-Abn Shabbos. So it's 31, Rashi. Ben drusoi, listim haya. He was a bandit, a robber, a highway robber. Umevashel mishulo shlish. He cooked his food only one third. So it's an important point. Rashi says it's shlish. One third cook. Why? Because he was always on the run from the law. Okay, the posse was after him with the sheriff. Okay, so you didn't have too much time to sit and eat. Okay, and we're not made fit, huh?
Matzah.
Right, we're not right? Okay, only have 18 minutes, right? So whatever it is, he would be eating on the run. The guy was on the run. So he wouldn't have time to let his food cook all the way, but as long as it's barely edible. Okay, enough, I can eat and not get sick. So that's considered to be Rashi Shlish. Shlish Bishulo. Okay? Nothing more says Itmarnami, Amarasim Yochana Koshum Kamachon Sai, Aimo Shumishun Nachin. This is again a further proof that Machab and Usai, that's considered Bishul. Okay. Tanya, Hananya Omer, Koshu Kamachab and Usai, Mutar Lish Hosa Gabi Kirav Alpha Pish and a group of Viktuma. For that reason, says Hananya, we'll talk about that next week probably. That if I have something which is already cooked, not fully cooked, but even if it's only one third cooked, I can put it right inside the oven. As long as the oven, even if the oven is not gufo k'tuma, okay? Because I'm talking on Friday afternoon, right? Because what did I do? On Friday afternoon, I'm putting this item. It's already fully cooked. It's already, not fully cooked. It's already machal b'shoy. It's already edible. So now if I put that edible item on Friday afternoon into an oven, even if the oven is not gufo k'tuma, what's gufo k'tuma? Gufo rash is gruf, garuf, min ha'gecholem b'magrefa. There are no coals in there. I emptied out the coals. The oven's still hot, even with our modern oven. You turn it off, but it's still hot for a while, the next number of minutes, especially if you're at a high temperature for a long time. You turn off the oven, it's still hot. So grufa means it's the coals, you know, the fuel source has been removed. That's called grufa, garuf, or grufa. Min ha-gecholim. Okay, the coals have been removed. And ketum or katum, literally the word grufa means like shovel. Or swept. You shoveled away that you did in the old oven, like you have not a gas grill, but the old type of barbecue, the old type of grills, you know. So, and charcoal, at the end, you shoveled it away. So that's what the word gargaraf literally means, but it means you removed the stuff that was given off the heat. Ketuma means it's covered with ashes or whatever. You cover the coals, you know, they won't remove them, but they're covered, it's not really giving off heat. Sometimes people do that. Have a barbecue, you know, the older. So you take stuff and you cover the coals. Right? The embers are going to burn for half an hour, huh? But you cover it, you know, so with ashes and with other stuff, so it won't give off that much heat, won't give off that intensity. Anyway, Hananya says that if the food is already machal ben yusoy, it's been one third cooked, so I can now leave it on Erev Shabbos next to an oven, even though the oven wasn't cleaned out. Meaning, even if it is a regular function, it's still hot, I can put my food there. Why? Isn't that Bishul on Shabbos? No, the food's cooked already. Food's considered cooked already. Now we'll have to say we pass him. But that's what he says. Okay? Just very quickly, the Rambam, along with this, the Rambam, Perek Tes, hey, of the Shabbos, I told you, Perek Tes, all the Dino found, 32. He niach bosal gabi gecholim. If I left meat on coal, he mitzvah bo kegogeres. I feel the shabbos from coal is chayav on Shabbos. Right? Even if it roasts in some places, you know, meat doesn't always roast evenly all over. Right? As long as it roasts in two or three places, or chayav lo nitzvah bo kegogeres lo nitzvah keres on the special kulo chatzi. None of it got fully roasted. But here's the key line for us: but all of it was at least chatzi bishul. Okay, the whole piece of meat was chatzi bishul. So the special chatzi bishul side of a quarter over one side and so on. So we'll go back to that. But bottom line is the Rambam is telling us that his definition is chatzi bishul. Rashi said how much? Shlish. Okay, Rashi says one third. So the machok is the Rambam and the Rashi. What's considered macha ben usoy, a third cooked or a half cooked? Now how do you get to tell? So some posts will say that. And he says that it's the amount. It's a time factor. It cooked for the 1/3 of the amount of time that you would normally cook it to cook it fully. So the recipe calls for cooking this 25 minutes, you get 1/3. Okay, or the Rambam says 1/2. With half and 1/3, because a person can't tell whether it's 1/2 cooked, 1/3 cooked. You tell the difference by tasting it or by looking at it. Sometimes it gets, depends, you know, harden or whatever. But at the end of the day, it means half or 1/3 of the time that you would normally spend to have it fully cooked. So we have Machlokas, the Rambam and the Rashi here. Rambam and Rashi is what, at what point is Machlokas and the soy? Rashi said 1/3 cooked, Rambam said 1/2 cooked. But at that point, okay, we'll stop over here, we'll come to Shomar. But at that point, the food is considered cooked, and at least on a Doraisa level, would be okay to leave this food, even by an oven which has not been closed, you know, not sealed, nothing, because you're leaving it there from before. What do? It's already 1/3 cooked, or even if I put it on a shelf, it's already 1/3 cooked, according to the Rambam, and half cooked. So that's the definition of cooking. By a solid, it has to bring it to the point of machol ben zusoy. Okay, so we'll continue with this, then we'll start with the solid. We'll get to the liquids tomorrow and a few other things. Should be able to finish these things on the Sunday. Yeah. What's that? If you hold the hash, it's fully cooked. Right, so grogeris means a tzli's worth. A grogeris worth was cooked all the way.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, correct. I think he said fully. Yes.